6TL86, meet 6X24.
53 is in pursuit. 11W373, what are you in pursuit of?
It's the worst street in town. It's so bad. But you're not afraid, are you? Of course you are. So am I. But we don't have to drive it every day. Not like him. Him. Down there. Tooling his big black and white around the endless curve of Police Street. Now, don't tell me you wouldn't like to cruise in one of those screamers. So come on. Come on down. Settle back here, back in the back seat. Don't mind the bars between you and the driver. They're for your protection, not his.
1 foot fighter 22, 1 foot fighter 22.
Him?
Come in, please.
Who's him? A nobody.
1 foot fighter 22, 1 foot fighter 22.
Just a cop.
Come in, please.
His name's Coolzip. Detective Lieutenant Random Coolzip, XPD. And he's been on the force so long he looks like a 57-year-old potato in a trick suit.
1 foot fighter 22. One housewife 45, one housewife 45. This is one daddy, 57.
He's forgotten at home, and he runs his siren just for company, but he's a crumpled kind of hero to his wife.
This is one housewife, 45, reading you, dear. Reading you, sir. Reading you, one daddy, 57.
Where in hell's 1 foot fighter 22?
Locating. I have a 36 via location.
Okay, hook it up.
I am hooking.
What is she saying?
He's a tough guy with television dreams who's in a fight to keep this street quiet. His street.
This 1 foot fighter 22. One foot fighter 22.
This is one daddy 57. Where the hell are you? State your position.
Position is vertical. Position of chopper horizontal. I have a suspect of obelisk at corner of police and Eat Street. We have a 6-6 going here, boss. We are closing.
Okay. Hold on! Here's a beautiful little Negro schoolgirl getting off the back of a bus here. She's right in the line of fire.
Sergeant, act police and state your code.
Now, one daddy, 59.
Seven.
I mean seven. This is one. Beach ball, 29. Plug's going in too fast. We got a dangerous situation built up down here. We got to read this guy's rights, but...
He hasn't got any. I'm going in there, boss.
Come on, Austin. Good. Go get him.
Hold back. Hey, sir, what about the law? We got a possible 666 here.
Junior, you zip up your 492 and get off this feed, unless you want to go back to rolling D-38s on drunk patrol.
But, sir!
Clong, clong. Kong, can you report a code 13? Repeat, a code 13.
A one daddy 57, this a 1 foot fighter 22. Affirmative, this sucker is exterminated.
X.
Gee, this is awful, Dad. Kong's loaded on dope and he's killing people.
Tell it to the Xmas bunny, kid. Kong, how many did you get?
Reporting three unarmed Correction, one unarmed tourist, the other two had arms, and one cute little pussy cat.
One dog food zip nine, come in. Good news, boy. Klong wasted the pussy cat. We need 2 minutes, then. Jump
You're
on those
sitting
good
in a
boy.
Puddle of excitement, aren't you? But he's dry. He squeals fast up Police Street to the terminal bar because he needs another shot. Because the street is tough and dirty. Not like at home, where everything he fears stands ankle deep in tears and detergents.
Thank you. The great train robbery of over £3 million continues to baffle the British police.
Good evening.
However, we have here with us in the studio this evening the deputy head of New Scotland Yard, Arthur Gappy.
Good evening.
And I'm going to ask him just a few questions about the train robbery.
Good evening.
Good evening, Sir Arthur.
Good evening.
I'm going to ask you just a few questions about the train robbery, if I may.
Good evening. Well, I'd like to make one thing quite clear at the outset. When you speak of a train robbery, this in fact involved no loss of train. It was merely the contents of the train which were pilfered. We haven't lost a train since 1943, I think it was, the year of the great snows. We mislaid a small one. They're very hard to lose, you see. Trains are great, bulky, great things, as opposed, for example, to small jewels. A tiny pearl, for example, might nestle in the navel of a lady and disappear for years. Whereas a train with its huge size and the steam pouring out is altogether a different kettle of fish.
I think you've made that point rather well, Sir Arthur.
Thank you very much.
Who do you think may have perpetrated this awful crime?
We believe this to be the work of thieves. And I'll tell you why. The whole pattern is extremely reminiscent of past robberies where we have found thieves to be involved. The telltale loss of property, the snatching away of the money substances, it all points to thieves.
Thieves. So you feel that thieves are responsible?
Good heavens, no. I feel that thieves are totally irresponsible. Ghastly people who go around snatching your money.
I appreciate that, sir.
You may appreciate that, but most people don't. If you like having your money snatched, good luck to you. It must be rather a queer fish in my view.
You misunderstand me,
I
sir.
I certainly do. Good evening.
Who do you think is behind the criminals?
We are considerably many. Many days, indeed months and years behind them.
Who do you think is the organizing genius behind the crime?
Well, now, of course, you're asking me who the organizing genius behind the crime is.
You're a man of very acute perception, sir.
Thank you very much. Well, we believe it to be the work of a Mindermast, let me put it that way.
A Mindermast?
A Mindermast, my words exactly, a Mindermast.
What exactly is a Mindermast?
A Mindermast is the code word we use at Scotland Yard to describe a mastermind. We don't like to use the word mastermind as that depresses the men. Oafish lot of louts, if ever I saw any. Ghastly. Great yobs.
I see.
But we are, however, using the wonderful detection equipment known as the Identikit. Are you familiar with the Identikit?
Oh, isn't it where you piece together the face of the criminal, is it right?
Not entirely, no. We're only able to piece together the appearance of the face of the criminal. We can't actually piece the face itself together. I wish we could, of course, because once you've captured the criminal face, the other criminal parts aren't hard to find. The criminal body is situated directly below the criminal face. Joined, of course, by the ghastly, scrawny, and altogether obnoxious criminal neck. But through this wonderful system of the Identikit, or l'identikit, as the French foppishly call it, God bless them, we have pieced together an extremely good likeness of the Archbishop of Canterbury.
So His Grace is your number one suspect?
Well, let me put it this way. His Grace is the man we're currently beating the living daylights out of down at the yard.
And he's still your number one suspect?
No, I'm happy to say that the Archbishop, God bless him, no longer resembles the picture we built up. Changed, I think, for the worse, poor devil.
I believe I'm right in saying, Sir Arthur, that some of the stolen money has been recovered.
Yes, it has. Yes, it has.
What's happening to that?
We're spending that as quickly as we can. It's a short life, but a merry one down at the yard. Good night, and God bless you all.
Good evening. On Ethel the Frog tonight, we look at violence, the violence of British gangland. Last Tuesday, a reign of terror was ended when the notorious Piranha brothers, Doug and Dinsdale, after one of the most extraordinary trials in British legal history, were sentenced to 400 years imprisonment for crimes of violence. Tonight, Ethel the Frog examines the rise to power of the Piranhas and their subsequent tracking and capture by the brilliant Superintendent Harry Snapper Organs of Q Division.
Doug and Dinsdale Piranha were born on probation in Kipling Road, Southwark. Their father, Arthur Piranha, a scrap metal dealer and TV quizmaster, was well known to the police and a devout Catholic. In January 1928, he had married Kitty Malone, an up-and-coming East End boxer. Doug was born in February 1929, and Dinsdale 2 weeks later, and again a week after that. Their next-door neighbour, Mrs. Lamberta Simnel.
Kipling Road was a typical East End street. People were in and out of each other's houses with each other's property all day long. Yes, they were a cheery lot. Cheery and violent. I remember Doug was keen on boxing, but when he learned to walk, he took up putting the boot in the groin.
When the Piranhas left school, they were called up, but were found by an army board to be too mentally unstable, even for national service. Denied the opportunity to use their talents in the service of their country, they began to operate what they called the operation. They would select a victim and then threaten to beat him up if he paid them the so-called protection money. 4 months later, they started another operation, which they called the other operation. In this racket, they selected another victim and threatened not to beat him up if he didn't pay them. 1 month later, they hit upon the other operation. In this, the victim was threatened that if he didn't pay them, they would beat him up. This, for the Piranha Brothers, was the turning point.
Superintendent Harry Snapper Organs of Q Division takes up the story.
Doug and Dinsdale Piranha now formed a gang, which they called the Gang, and used terror to take over nightclubs, billiard halls, gaming casinos and racetracks. When they tried to take over the MCC, they were, for the only time in their lives, slit up a treat. As their empire spread, however, we in Q Division were keeping tabs on their every movement by reading the colour supplements.
One small-time operator who fell foul of Dinsdale Piranha was Vince Snetterton Lewis.
Well, one day I was at home threatening the kids, when I looks out through the hole in the wall and I sees this tank pull up, and out gets one of Dinsdale's boys. So he chains me to the back of the tank and takes me for a scrape round to Dinsdale's place. And Dinsdale's there in the conversation pit with Doug and Charles Paisley, the baby crusher, and two film producers, and a man they called Kierkegaard, who just sat there biting the heads off whippets. And Dinsdale just says, "Oh, you've been a naughty boy, Clement." And he splits me nostrils open and saws me leg off and pulls me liver out. And I tell him my name's not Clement. And then he loses his temper and nails my head to the floor.
He nailed your head to the floor?
At first, yeah.
Another man who had his head nailed to the floor was Stig O'Tracy.
Stig, I've been told Dinsdale Piranha nailed your head to the floor.
No, never! He was a smashing bloke. He used to buy his mother flowers and that. He was like a brother to me.
But the police have film of Dinsdale actually nailing your head to the floor.
Oh, yeah, he did that.
Why?
Well, I had to. I had transgressed the unwritten law.
What had you done?
Well, he didn't tell me that. But he gave me his word that it was the case, and that's good enough for me with old Dinsy. I mean, he didn't want to nail my head to the floor. I had to insist. He wanted to let me off.
I understand he also nailed your wife's head to a coffee table.
Yeah, he did that. He was a cruel man, but fair.
Clearly, Dinsdale inspired tremendous fear among his business associates. But what was he really like?
I walked out with Dinsdale on many occasions, and I found him a charming and erudite companion. He was wont to introduce one to eminent celebrities, celebrated American singers, members of the aristocracy, and other gang leaders.
How had he met them?
Through his wonderful work for charity. He took a warm interest in boys' clubs, cedar's homes, the choristers' associations, and the Grenadier Guards.
Was there anything unusual about him?
I should bleeding well say not, except that Dinsdale was convinced that he was being watched by a giant hedgehog, whom he referred to as Spanian Norman.
How big was Norman supposed to be?
Normally, he was wont to be about 12 feet from his head to his anus. And when he was about, Dinsdale would go very quiet and start wobbling, and his nose would swell up, and his teeth would move about, and he'd get very violent and claim that he'd laid Stanley Baldwin.
Did it worry you that he, for example, stitched people's legs together?
Well, it's better than bottling it up, isn't it? He was a gentleman, Dinsdale. And what's more, he knew how to treat a female impersonator.
Most of these strange tales concern Dinsdale. But what of Doug? One man who met him was Luigi Vercotti.
I'd been running a successful escort agency. High class, no, really, high class girls didn't have any of that. That was right out. Hello? Not now. Stum. Yeah, we'll have the watch ready for you at midnight. At the watch. The Chinese watch. Right, bye-bye, mother. So I decided to open an high-class nightclub for the gentry at Biggleswade with international cuisine and cooking and top-line acts and not a cheap clip joint for picking up tarts. That was right out. I deny that completely. Shut that door! And one evening, in walks Dinsdale with a couple of big lads, one of whom was carrying a tactical nuclear missile. They said I'd bought one of their fruit machines and would I pay for it.
How much did they ask?
£750,000.
Why didn't you go to the police?
Well, I noticed that the lad with the thermonuclear device was the chief constable for the area. So a week later they called again, told me the check had bounced, and said I have to see Doug.
Doug.
Doug. Well, I was terrified. Everyone was terrified of Doug. I've seen grown men pull their own heads off rather than see Doug. Even Dinsdale was frightened of Doug.
What did Doug do?
He used sarcasm. He knew all the tricks. Dramatic irony, metaphor, bathos, puns, parody, hyperbole, litotes and satire. He was vicious. Shut that bleeding door! Mother.
In this way, by a combination of violence and sarcasm, the Piranha Brothers by February 1966 controlled London and the southeast of England. It was in February, though, that Dinsdale made a big mistake. In a fit of pique, he napalmed Cheltenham. Even the police began to sit up and take notice.
The Piranhas realised they'd gone too far and that the hunt was on. They went into hiding. I decided on a subtle approach, viz. Some form of disguise, as the old helmet and boots were a bit of a giveaway. Luckily, my years with Bristol Rep stood me in good stead, as I assumed a bewildering variety of disguises. I tracked them to Cardiff, posing as the Reverend Smiler Egret. Hearing they'd gone back to London, I assumed the identity of a pork butcher, Brian Stoats. On my arrival in London, I discovered they had returned to Cardiff. I followed as Gloucester from King Lear. Acting on an hunch, I spent several months in Buenos Aires as Blind Pew, returning through the Panama Canal as Ratty in Toad of Toad Hall. Back in Cardiff, I relived my triumph as Sancho Panza in Man of La Mancha, which the Bristol Evening Post described as a glittering performance of rare perception, although the Bath Chronicle was less than enthusiastic. In fact, it gave me a right penning, quote.
As for the performance of Superintendent Harry Snapper Organs as Sancho Panza, the audience were bemused by his high-pitched Welsh accent, his abusive ad-libs, and his persistent unscheduled appearances and cries of what's all this then during the rape scene.
The police now began to close the net around the Piranha Brothers, and it was in a last desperate attempt to forestall the inevitable that Doug and Dinsdale went to a small house in Stepney, where they...
Excuse me?
Yes?
I got a message from Dinsdale. He likes this record very much, but him and some of the boys have the feeling that this last item has gone on a bit too long.
Well, I'm afraid I disagree. I think a story like this needs time to
develop. No, you misunderstand me. He don't want to debate about it. Dinsdale thinks that the humorous impact will be somewhat dissipated by the prolongation of this item.
Well, I'm afraid I'm not prepared.
Oh, sorry, Squire. I'll scratch the record. 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 Sorry, Squire. I'll scratch the record.
Daughters. I tried so hard, I never knew still waters. Nothing to eat and nothing to drink. Nothing for a man to do but sit around and think. Nothing for a man to do but sit around and think. I'm thinking and I'm thinking till there's nothing. The stink till finally I stunk. It was at that time I swear I lost my mind. Started making plans to started making plans to kill my own kind. Come, little daughter, I said to the youngest one, put your coat on, we'll have some fun. We'll go out to the mountains, the one to explore. The face lit up, I'm standing by the door. The face lit up, I'm standing by the door. Daughter, I will carry the lanterns. We'll go out tonight. We'll go to the caverns. We'll go out tonight. We'll go to the caves. Kiss your mother goodnight and remember that God saves. Kiss your mother goodnight and remember that God saves. I led her to a hole, a deep black well. I said, make a wish, make sure and not tell. And close your eyes, dear, and count to seven. You know your papa loves you, good children go to heaven. You know your papa loves you, good children go to heaven. I gave her a push, I gave her a shove. I pushed with all my might, I pushed with all my love. I threw my child into a bottomless pit. Screaming as she fell, but I never heard her hit. She was screaming as she fell, but I never heard her hit. The tale that I tell. You wanna know how to take a short trip to hell? It's guaranteed to get your own place in hell. Just take your lovely daughter and push her in the well. Take your lovely daughter and throw her in the well. Speak to me of lovers with a broken heart. You wanna know what will really tear you apart? I'm going out to the barn with a never-stopping pain. I'm going out to the barn to hang myself in shame.
She was shot through the heart, lying cold on the ground. Her clothes were all ragged, and her curls on the ground, and the blood marked the spot where poor Ellen was found. They hunted me down, and they found me a loafing all around o'er the town. She told me she loved. mine. But you went and left me here with these troubles on my mind. And I read it today. Said the flowers on her grave, they were fading away. I'm going back home, Lord, I'll stay when I go. And on poor Ellen's grave, pretty flowers I will sow. Poor Ellen Smith, how she was found. She was shot through the heart, lying cold on the ground. Her clothes were all ragged and her curls on the ground, and the blood marked the spot where poor Ellen was found.
Delia, oh, Delia, Delia all my life. If I hadn't shot poor Delia, I'd have had her for my wife. Delia's gone, one more round, Delia's gone. I went up to Memphis, and I met Delia there. Found her in her parlor, and I tied her to her chair. Delia's gone, one more round, Delia's gone. She was low down and trifling, and she was cold and mean. Kind of evil make me want to grab my submachine. Delia's gone, one more round, Delia's gone. First time I shot her in the side. Hard to watch her suffer, but with the second shot she died. Delia's gone, one more round, Delia's gone. But jailer, oh jailer, jailer, I can't sleep. Cause all around my bedside I hear the patter of Delia's feet. Delia's gone, one more round, Delia's gone. So if your woman's devilish, you can let her run, or you can bring her down and do her like Delia got done. Delia's gone, one more round, Delia's gone. Delia's gone, one more round, Delia's gone.
Folks, I'm gonna tell you a story you've never heard. It's all about a high yellow colored man. There's truth in every word. I'm talking about the man called Stack O'Day. It was in St. Louis on Pine Street. That's exactly where it was at. Stack up and shut himself a competing colored man on account of a dirty old Stetson hat. And from then on they called him Hard Luck Stack O'Day. The sheriff came up and said, "Hello, Stack, let's have a little talk." Then he throwed the handcuffs onto Stack and said, "Come on, buddy, let's walk." Down to the jailhouse they took poor Stack O'Day. Stack's gal went out to get some bond money for somebody to go his bail. She said, "There ain't a trick in this world that I wouldn't turn. to get my stack out of jail. Oh, how she loved her stack of me. Next morning down in the courtroom, the judge sat down on the bench. The first one to occupy the witness stand was old Stacko's sweet loving wench. She said, I'm gonna argue with the jury for Stacko Lee. The judge got up and called the sentence. His eyes was filled with tears. He said, I'm gonna be good to you this time, Stack. I'm only gonna give you 69 years. You got plenty of time now, Stacko Lee. They told him, said, don't ever sharpen your razor. Brother, don't shave your face. Don't ever ask anybody the hour of the day, 'cause you ain't going no place. You're in here from now on, Stacko Lee. This song is just about half through. To get it all on here, I've tried. You better stop your machine, turn your record over, and play the other side. And you'll hear some more of the song called Stacko Lee. Stacko's gal was a good gal, most everybody knows. She said, I gotta go and get myself a lot of bucks to buy Stack some new prison clothes. In a way, I must provide for Stacko Lee. But one morning she began to moan. Great God, how she cried. She got a letter from the jailhouse. Said, lady, your Stack has died. He just up and kicked the bucket, did Stacko Lee. She went out and got a big rubber tire hearse. She got a little old lonesome hat. Took him on out to the graveyard. Laid him right down on his back. And then they kicked a lot of dirt on the face of Stacko Lee. A man standing by said, last night while I was sleeping, I had myself an awful dream. If you got some tar, I got the stem and lamp. I'll show you just how to cook with steam. I might as well hop right along with Stacko Lee. But finally one might say eventually, Stacko Lee's gal died. The last thing she said was that she wanted to be buried right by his side. She said, I want my body to cool with Stacko Lee. She had a common ordinary funeral. She was planted right down by his side. On the monument read this inscription, these riders rode their last ride. And that is the story of the man called Stacko Lee.
Come on. This is what happens when you pay musicians by the note. This is the city, Bangor, Maine. My name's KBC. My partner is Jersey the Cat. I carry a bag. And today we deal with the subject of crime because I myself have been the victims of two different crimes this weekend, this week, on the same day. This past Thursday, January 8th, I looked outside and there were no degrees out there. No degrees to be found anywhere. Somebody had stolen them. There were just no degrees at all. I looked, didn't find them. I looked in the mirror, and I saw looking back at me, instead of me, a 65-year-old man. I said, shit! And, you know, 65 isn't bad. You at least, you know, you get eligible for Medicare, but who really wants to be 65, right? I mean, even all those senior discounts ain't going to cut it, baby. So anyway, In the Name of Crime, we started out with the Fireside Theater Police Street off of their album In the Next World, You're on Your Own. Steely Dan after that, speaking of crime. Somebody stole Steely Dan, turned him into a... replaced him with a cheesy lounge act. That was Don't Take Me Alive from The Royal Scam, featuring The Royal Scam of the theft of Steely Dan. Police on My Back was The Equals. That was the original version of that song. You remember that from The Clash? That was the original by The Equals, featuring a very young Eddie Grant. Eddie Grant gave us, or inflicted upon us, Electric Avenue, speaking of crime. Beyond the Fringe, after that, featuring Alex Bennett and Peter Cook, The Great Train Robbery. The Piranha Brothers was Monty Python, of course. The Violent Femmes, Country Death Song. I really like The Violent Femmes. I'm sorry, I do. Poor Ellen Smith was Jimmy Martin and his banjo. Delia's Gone was Johnny Cash, of course. And Stacko Lee from Cliff Edwards. That's a very old, old song surrounding a true event in St. Louis back around the turn of the century where Stacko Lee, murdered his friend Billy for his Stetson hat, just like they say. We know it by Lloyd Price, of course, but this was Cliff Edwards and his ukulele. All right, so we'll be back in a few minutes to read your rights and take you for that ride downtown. But in the meantime, we have more.
Hey, Larry, dig that chick.
Huh, she's groovy.
Hey, man, are you ready for that spade?
Wow, he's groovy. All spades are groovy.
Dig that chick. She's groovy.
Yeah, she's groovy.
Right.
Hey, dig that.
She's not groovy.
Mm-hmm.
Peace, baby.
You talking to me, man?
Sure, baby. Come on over here. I want to do a thing with you.
You want a roofer?
No, man.
Reaper?
Forget it.
Ringer?
Where's your miniskirt?
I forgot it! Oh, I knew I should.
Cruel little lady, don't get uptight.
Come over here in the light so we can check your body paint. Faded San Francisco Art Nouveau.
Sure, she must be an oldie.
Are you holding?
Natch! Jackson, of course I'm holding. I got it right. Oh, you took my stash from me. This is a frame-up.
Dig, Larry.
Aspirin. Let's do her a favor. Phone her in.
I tell you, I took all the uppers. You want to hear me rap? I saw the best minds of my generation.
Put her in the car.
Put her in the back seat.
Out of sight. Pull her into Dr. Benway.
All right, bring in that slimy creep for holding on the obscene phone calls. Go over there and sit down, badmouth.
I go. Copper.
I'm gonna lock you up and throw away the key, boy.
You can take that key and tie it to your Sherlock.
All right, tough guy, now you're asking for it.
Why don't you go take a get a rolling donut?
Now look, boy, don't honk me off.
Well, don't me off.
Well, the department's gonna see to it you don't call no more women and use words like and I can't even read this one.
That's Flatfoot.
Oh, yeah.
I suppose you never did it.
Well,
you bet your sweet to have you.
Now, just a minute. What's your name, Badmouth?
My name is George.
Did you say...
Yeah, I said...
Spelled T?
Yeah, spelled T.
Just like it sounds.
I'd like to take that badge and pin it to your tiny little...
That'll be the day, boy, when you take my badge and pin it to my tiny little... Hello? Yeah, Commissioner.
Is that the Commissioner? Kim Jones.
You sit down there, boy, and keep your bad mouth shut. Commissioner, we're holding the boy here on obscene phone calls. Yeah, his name is... T. Well, now you got me there. You've been carrying on, so I haven't had a chance to ask him. I'll ask him right now. Boy, what do you do for a living?
I'm professor of English literature at Slippery Stone University, specializing in 15th century culture appreciation.
You.
Flatfoot.
Sergeant Krupke, you gotta understand, it's just our bringing up key that gets us out of hand. Our mothers all are junkies, our fathers all are jocks. Golly Moses, naturally we're punky. Officer Krupke, we're very upset. We never had the law that every boy ought to get. We ain't no delinquents, we're misunderstood. Deep down inside us, fair is good.
Fair is good!
Fair is good, fair is good, fair is good.
Your Honor, my parents treat me rough. With all that marijuana, they won't give me a puff. They didn't want to have me, but somehow I was had. Sleeping lizards, that's why I'm so bad.
Officer Krupke, you're really a square. This boy on in a dungeon needs an analyst care. It's just a neurosis that ought to be cured. He's psychologically disturbed.
I'm disturbed!
We're disturbed, we're disturbed, we're the most disturbed. What are we trying?
Hear ye, hear ye! In the opinion of this court, this child is depraved on account of eating at a normal home! Hey, I'm depraved because I'm deprived! Now take him to a head shrinker!
Head shrinker, who?
Me?
No.
My father is a bastard, my mom's an SOB, my grandpa's always plastered, my grandma pushes tea, my sister wears a mustache, my brother wears a dress! Goodness gracious, that's why I'm a mess.
Yo, yes! Officer Krupke, you're really a swab. This boy don't need a doctor, just a good honest job. Society's played him a terrible trick. That's sociologically sick. I am sick.
We are sick, we are sick, we are sick, we are sick, sick, sick. Why sociologically we're sick?
My opinion, this child doesn't need his head shrunk at all. Juvenile delinquency is purely a social disease.
Hey, I got a social disease!
Just take him to a social worker!
Social worker, they say go make some dough, but be a soda jerker, which means I'll be a schmo. It's not that I'm antisocial, it's just I'm not at work. Glorioski, that's why I'm a jerk.
Oh, it's a prodigy, you've done it again. This boy will be in trouble, he's the heir of the plague. And that's just a question of misunderstood. Deep down inside of his damn
kind
of
gun.
He's lazy.
The trouble is he drinks.
The trouble is he's crazy.
The trouble is he stinks.
The trouble is he's growing.
The trouble is he's drowned.
Krupke, we got troubles of our own. Gee, Officer Krupke, we're down on our knees. Cause no one wants a fellow with a social disease. Gee, Officer Krupke, what are we to do? Gee, Officer Krupke, fuck you!
All right, everyone, quiet, please. This meeting will now come to order.
Who is that English bulldog?
That is Sir Basil. He's presiding over tonight's meeting.
Tonight, fellow canines, we are confronted with a matter of the utmost gravity. One of our number has committed a dastardly act which threatens to destroy the good name which dogs have long enjoyed in the world of men. Will the prisoner please step forward?
What is this all about? What prisoner?
That one there. That German police dog standing between the two boxers.
No, you heard what the judge said, Fitz. Get out there.
Prisoner, step forward and state your name.
My name is Fritz Wolfgang Schleswig-Holstein. License number 630-7.
And would you tell the court the name of your master?
My name is Fritz Wolfgang Schleswig-Holstein.
The name of your master?
Under the Articles of the Geneva Convention, I am only required to tell you my name and license number.
You are directed to give me the name.
I will tell you his master's name. I am not afraid. His master's name is Sergeant Otis Spurlock of the Alabama State Police.
Order, 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 order. You're behaving like a pack of people. Prisoner, how do you plead?
I refuse to plead. I will not submit to a kangaroo court conducted by a bunch of dogs. I demand to lawyer.
He's right, he's right. He's entitled to counsel. I'll defend him.
Oh, Sherry, he doesn't deserve it. He would never give you such a chance. Believe me, I know the bush.
Stand aside. Stand aside, sir. I'm ready to defend you because I believe in the American way. According to the Constitution, everyone shall have a right to a fair and impartial...
Oh, shut up!
What?
Shut up, you mongrel hound. Your Honor, I demand another lawyer. This dog has mixed blood, and I am of pure stock. My pedigree paper shows that my great-great-grandfather was Rudolf of Stuttgart, and my mother was a blue-ribbon Bavarian blue blood.
Duh! What did he say?
I was a blue... keep your pushy box up. What the hell are you...
Silence. Now, listen here. Von Rittendorf, you have no alternative. I hereby appoint as your counsel this... What is your name?
Prince.
Prince?
Some prince. The only papers he got are the ones he was housebroken on.
Enough, enough. Defense counsel, proceed.
Very well, Your Honor. Now, sir, you are charged with attacking people. Are you guilty?
Oh, good gracious, no. I have always been a peaceful dog. There is nothing I used to like better than to sit in front of the fire and have my master file my fangs. And then they drafted me.
Are you trying to say, sir, that you were forced to attack people against your will?
But of course, you nice mongrel, you. I was only following orders. All of us were. The officers made us do it. They are the guilty ones. What's the matter? Didn't you see Judgment at Nuremberg?
Then how do you answer to the charge of biting children?
For those children? Nobody told me.
We've heard enough. Turn him over to the dog catcher.
We had a good thing going until you came along. Judge, just give me 1 minute alone with him at the alley.
Couchon, you are not a dog. You are a pig.
Comrades, please. When it comes to this kind of thing, listen to a Russian wolfhound. Your Honor... May I speak?
Very well, Boris. Please be brief.
Thank you. In Russia, we have very simple method for dealing with undesirables. How do we do that? I'm glad I asked. When we don't like something, we decide does not exist.
I beg your pardon.
We make believe never happened.
You mean like Joseph Stalin?
Who?
I see what you mean, but what bearing has that on this case?
It's very simple. Since prisoner has disgraced all dogs, prisoner is no longer a dog.
No longer a dog? What on earth do you mean?
From now on, he's a cat. Hey, you, Fritz, You're a cat.
Well, this is ridiculous.
Shut up, pussycat. Go, 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 go. Go chase a mouse before we bite you in pieces.
You can't do this to me.
Meow.
Meow.
Yeah, he, this code is now in session. His Honor, Judge Pigmeat Martin Poseidon. Yeah, he, the code of swings. It's just about ready to do that thing. I don't want no tears, I don't want no lies. Above all, I don't want no alibis. This judge is hip, and that ain't all. He'll give you time if you're big or small. Fall in line with this code is neat. Peace, brother.
Uh-oh, here comes the judge. Here comes the judge. Everybody know that he is the judge.
Everybody, near and far, I'm going to Paris to start a fist war. All those kids got to listen to me, because I am the judge that you can plainly see. I want a big round table when I get there. I won't sit down to wonder square. I'm going to lay down the law, they better not budge. I bust some head because I am the judge.
He is the judge, he is the judge. Everybody knows that he is the judge.
Eyes
who?
Eyes your next door neighbor. Out of this courtroom! Out of this courtroom!
Judge, your honorship high, sir. Did I hear you say order in the court?
Yes, I said order.
Well, I'll take two cans of beer, please.
I miss my guess. I have you out of this doggone mess. I set up cable to Bobby Mac. Let them know I'm coming back. Sit right down with Rockin' Nicks. Teach them both some of Pigmeat's tricks.
Judge, you're on a Pigmeat, sir. Don't you remember me?
No, who are you, boy?
Well, I'm the fella that introduced you to your wife.
To my wife?
Yeah.
Life, you son of a gun, you. Everybody know I am the judge.
I was sitting in a coffee shop just minding my own affairs, when all of a sudden this policeman caught me unawares. He said, "Is your name Pedro?" I said, "Yeah, I guess so." He said, "Then come with me, cause you're the man we've been looking for." I said, "Hey man, I've been framed. Hey no, really man, I was framed. In the lineup and let the bright lights shine. There was 10 poor dudes like me standing in that line. I knew I was a victim of somebody's evil plan, when this scroungy looking dude came up and said,
"Yeah, that's him, man.
Hey, wait a minute, man, I've been framed, man. Oh, listen to me, just I was framed. I never do nothing wrong. Oh, but every time I get the blame. Hey, I've been framed." Then the prosecuting attorney started prosecuting on me. That dude gave me the first, second, and third degree. He said, "Where were you on the night of July 29th? I said, "Man, I was home in bed." He said, "Judge, that man's lying." I said, "Wait a minute, man, I was framed, man. Hey, just listen to me, man. Really gonna be me, I've been framed, man. I never do nothing wrong. Oh, but every time I get the blame. Oh, I was framed." Now look, I deny the charges of having any weed. And I also deny the charges of taking any speed. I deny the charges of selling any grass. But when the judge looked down and said guilty, I said, "Judge, you can kiss my friend. Yes, I'm telling you the truth, I was framed, man. I never do nothing wrong. But every time I..."
when I am lost and I need advice. I get down on my knees and I pray to Jesus Christ. He never forsakes me, he tells me what to do. It's always worked for me, maybe it will work for you. 2, 3, 4, God told me to rob the 7-Eleven. He told me not to wait for my reward in heaven. He said, come on now, get off your rump. Rob the store, son, don't be a chump. God told me to rob the 7-Eleven. I was in desperate need of a summer vacation. When God told me to knock off the Texaco station. So I tied up the attendant and I covered his mouth. Emptied the cash box and headed south. God told me to rob the Texaco station. Ooh, I have been on a happy jaunt. God gives me everything I want. When I see something that I can't afford, I get on my knees and I ask the Lord. All my life I've worked and scraped and suffered. But with all my newfound wealth, my pain is buffered. So don't get mad at me, whatever you do. It's not my fault, God told me to. God told me to rob the 7-Eleven. Oh, 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 God told me to rob the 7-Eleven. Oh, 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 he told me not to wait for my reward in heaven. He said, come on, Dick, get off your rump. Rob the store, son, don't be a chump. God told me to rob the 7-Eleven. God told me to rob the 7-Eleven. God told me to rob the 7-Eleven. God told me to rob the 7-Eleven.
There's a boy down the road on a bridge with his fishing pole. There's a soldier hugging his dad after getting home. There's a man in his overalls plowing across his piece of ground. You don't have to look far, all you gotta do is look around. This is NRA country. We love the stars and stripes. This is NRA country. We love the outdoor life. We hunt and fish and teach our kids not to live life in a hurry. It's where I was raised. This is NRA country. We take pride in the work that we do and show up every day. Like the ones that came before us that were built this way. We'll stand up for what we love because we believe in the USA, God and family and being free. This is NRA country. We love the stars and stripes. This is NRA country. We love the outdoor life. We hunt and fish and teach our kids not to live life in a hurry. It's where I was raised. This is NRA country. This is NRA country. We love the stars and stripes. This is NRA country. We love the outdoor life. We hunt and fish and teach our kids not to live life in a hurry. It's where I was raised. This is NRA country. It's where I was raised. This is NRA country.
Hey, can you lend me a few bucks? Tonight, can you get us a ride? Gotta make it through the tunnel. Got a meeting with a man on the other side. And Eddie, this guy, he's the real thing. So if you wanna come along, you gotta promise you won't say anything. Cause this guy don't dance. And the word's been passed since our last chance. We gotta stay cool tonight, Eddie. Cause man, we got ourselves out on that line. And if we blow this one, they ain't gonna be looking for just me this time. And all we gotta do is hold up our end. You stuff this in your pocket, it'll look like you're carrying a friend. And remember, just don't smile. Change the shirt. It's tonight we got style. Cherry says she's gonna walk, cause she found I took the radio in hot day. But Eddie, man, she don't understand that $2,000's practically sitting here in my pocket. Tonight's gonna be everything that I said. And when I walk through that door, I'm just gonna throw that money on the bed. You'll see this time I wasn't just talking. And I'm gonna go out walking. Hey, Eddie, can you catch us around?
Alright, I want you to put your hands up against the wall over there, spread your legs, and I will read you your rights. You have the right to remain silent while I read you your playlist. You have the right to a playlist. If you cannot afford a playlist, one will be provided to you at WFMU.org. Just look for the podcast thing and follow to playlists, archives, etc. You'll also find a very fine selection of KBC podcasts waiting for you if you had never heard them before. All right. And so anyway, we started that set with a rare second visit from the Fire Sign Theater. We heard something from their first album, not groovy. It goes on from there. That's just a piece of it, but it's interesting. Hudson Landry, The Obscene Phone Bust. Schlong. Yeah, Schlong. G. Officer Krupke out of West Side Story. Night Court was Vaughn Meter. Vaughn Meter made his fortune imitating President Kennedy before, unfortunately, he was removed from office by a gun. Vaughn kind of languished after that, but he came out with this, which is interesting. There's a few other interesting things on that record, which I don't have and can't tell you what it's called. Pigmeat Markham after that, and Here Come the Judge, of course, from 1968. Given a boost by Laugh-In, Cheech and Chong, and Framed, of course, Dick Price, God Told Me to Rob, the 7-Eleven with a gun. And then Justin Moore, this is NRA country. And I don't mean to imply that guns are criminal or that only criminals have guns, but I do mean to imply that the NRA is a criminal organization right up there with the mafia. They exist not for safety and for liberty, but to sell more guns and to corrupt our government. And I think that's kind of treasonous, which I think was punishable by hanging. I don't know. And then after that, Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, Meeting Across the River from Born to Run, one of my favorite, very favorite songs of his, probably my ultimate favorite song from him, Meeting Across the River. And you know what happened to those two guys. I don't need to tell you. We all know. So that's it. I'm letting you off with a warning this time, but I do need you to come back here next week when we will move from crime to its opposite or counterpart, which is punishment. So, you know, you're going to come back here next week and get what's coming to you. In the meantime, I have two more for you, kind of hardened advice from hardened criminals, okay? Meanwhile, stay warm, have a good week, and I will see you next time. Bye.
Beware of the eagle that's right in the middle of your back. Don't be the eagle. Got you in the sack. They got you in the sack. And they keep you looking bad. Don't do anything illegal. Beware of the eagle that's got you by the neck. Don't do anything you shouldn't, and you never can say, oh heck, I don't want to do that, mommy.
I'm the man.
Copyright law by downloading MP3s from file sharing sites like Morpheus or Grokster or LimeWire or Kazaa. But deep in your heart, you know the guilt would drive you mad, and the shame would leave a permanent scar. 'Cause you start out stealing songs, then you're robbing liquor stores and selling crack and running over school kids with your car. So don't download this song. The record store's where you belong. Go and buy
will sue you if you burn that CDR. It doesn't matter if you're a grandma or a seven-year-old girl. They'll treat you like the evil, hard-bitten criminal scum you are. So don't download this song.